Word of God this morning. So we'll get right to it. So in John chapter 6, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And then the following day after he'd fed the 5,000, Jesus and his disciples, they're in Capernaum. And some of the people who had been fed supernaturally the day before have followed them to Capernaum. And on that day, Jesus spoke some hard truths to those ears, to those people. He spoke some hard things. And this is the response from those who heard his words that day. This is John chapter 6, verse number 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Now, it's important for us to realize that Jesus had many followers. He had many disciples. We often tend to think of just the 12 as being the disciples. And those certainly were his inner circle. And those are the individuals that he called by name to follow him. But Jesus had many followers. He had many disciples. Disciple means one who is a pupil, one who is being taught, one who is learning. And the indication is that it is someone that is not just learning, but is actually applying those things that they learned to their lives. So when we talk about the followers and the disciples of Jesus, these aren't just camp followers, hangers-on. These are people that have made sacrifices to be there and to follow Jesus. They are invested in his word and his teachings and what he is speaking and the time and the season that they're in. And some of those individuals, those followers and those disciples, some of them were actually complaining about the word and the teaching that Jesus was bringing on that day in Capernaum. But Jesus, in spite of the fact, despite the fact that those people were offended, his followers and disciples were offended, despite the fact that they were murmuring and grumbling, Jesus pressed his point even further. And we learn that because of the hard sayings that Jesus spoke on that day, sayings that were hard even for his own inner circle to hear, because of those words that he spoke, we learn that many of those who were following him, many followers and disciples, walked away from Jesus that day. It was hard enough that even his 12, his inner circle, it was hard for them to hear and understand. And so Jesus even said to them, "Do you want to walk away as well?" And Peter answered. He spoke for the rest of them. He answered wisely. In John 6, 67 and 68, then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, throughout all the years that Jesus was teaching and ministering here on this earth, he spoke many, many wise truths, many spiritual truths, all those years. But what was it? What were the words that he spoke at that moment, on that day, to those people that caused so many of them to struggle, to complain, and then to actually walk away from Jesus after they had invested so much and sacrificed so much to be there with him? What were those words? But we see them in John chapter 6, verses 54 through 56. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on that last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Now the people hearing those words, they did not understand what Jesus was telling them. Remember, they had just come the day before. They had been fed supernaturally. So they have come following Jesus. They are coming. They are looking not for spiritual food. They're looking for physical food. And because they're looking for physical food instead of spiritual food, the spiritual truths that Jesus spoke confused them and repulsed them. But 2,000 years later, and having the benefit of being on this side of his life, his resurrection, being on this side of his victories, and also having the benefit of having the Holy Spirit within us, we have a better understanding. We better understand what it was that Jesus was speaking that day. But this is the beauty of the Word of God. There's always something more. There's always more depth. There's always levels down deeper that we can go and get more understanding, get more insight, get more truth, get more what he is speaking to us personally. There's always something more. But on that day, those Jews there in Capernaum. On that day, they came because they were seeking an endless supply of physical food to sustain their bodies. That's what they were seeking. But we who are his followers, who's his disciples today, we need to be seeking, we need to be pursuing, we need to be looking for his limitless, endless supply of insight and Holy Spirit revelation that comes from the Word of God. We need to be seeking that on a daily basis. Now, before Jesus spoke those hard words that he did to those people, before he spoke those hard words, he first spoke these words to them so that they would have an opportunity to be prepared to understand what he was saying. This is John chapter 6, verses 49 through 51. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus is comparing himself as the Word of God, as the bread of life that is walking with them, the bread of life that is living with them. He's comparing himself to the bread that God gave to their ancestors in the wilderness. He's comparing himself to that bread which God had gave. And he is reminding them or letting them know that this is who he is. And they're supposed to eat that bread. They should have the delight in taking in that bread. Because the manna that God provided previously, that manna, it provided life physically, but the manna did not provide life spiritually. Because manna is temporal. Manna is not eternal at all. So this is what Moses said about manna. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Man was never intended to live just on the food that comes from this physical world. Man has always been intended to also be fed the bread of life, the Word of God. And Jesus was and is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the bread of life. He is the Word of God and the bread of life that provides life both physically and spiritually. And that is the bread that they were supposed to be eating. That is the flesh that they were supposed to be eating at that time. And the people at that time, they had no concept either of the new covenant in Jesus' blood. The new covenant which will be established by Jesus' suffering, by his death, by his resurrection, and by his ascension in victory. They had no concept of that. But the cup of the new covenant, that was the blood that he was telling them that they should drink from as well. Now, these are the things that Jesus explained to his disciples when he had the Last Supper with his disciples. And on that night when he had that Last Supper, on that night when he broke that bread, and he gave them the bread, and he gave them the cup to drink, he told them, "Do this in remembrance of me." When we partake in communion, we are remembering his words. When we partake in communion, we know that the bread represents his body broken for us. We understand that Jesus was and is the bread of life. We understand that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the Word of God. We understand that this is the bread that we are to take in. This is the bread that we are to consume. And we understand that when we eat that bread, when you and I eat that bread this morning, we understand that we are acknowledging his sacrifice. We are acknowledging, when we eat that bread, we are acknowledging the miseries that he endured, from the scourging, the miseries that he endured, from the beating, from the humiliation, from the things that the Romans themselves did to him. It's acknowledging the anguish. It's acknowledging the rejection. It's acknowledging the torments that came from the cross. And when we eat that bread together, we are eating, we are consuming His Word. We're consuming the truth. We're consuming the Word of God into who we are. And we also understand that when we drink the cup itself, we understand that that cup represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who died and shed His blood to pay the price for our sins. We understand that when we drink that cup, we are drinking in the new covenant in His blood. We understand that we are drinking in His promises. We're drinking His promises in every promise that He established by His shed blood. These are the things that we're drinking in. Now, to better understand communion, it's helpful for us to understand two key words in that phrase that He said, eat and drink. He told those who were gathered that day that they took offense at. He said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I abide in them. So the first word to look at is the word yes. I'm sorry, yes. Well, yes would be one, but the word is eat. So let's look at that word eat, because as we are reading through these passages, when we read these passages in the Bible, we're reading them what is a translation from the Greek. But remember, the common language of the people at that time in Israel, in the day of Jesus, that was Aramaic. And there is an Aramaic word for eat. And it's a word that is almost identical. It is literally, there's just a slight spelling change. It's almost identical to a Hebrew word for eat. So we can know that when Jesus spoke this word to those people, when He said, eat my flesh, we can know that He was using the Aramaic word, or if not the Hebrew word, they're almost the same, and that word is akal. Now, akal means to eat, it means to consume, and it means this, it means to absorb something into yourself. When you eat food, you're absorbing that food into your body, right? The nutrients from that food are absorbed into your body, and it provides nutrition. It provides nourishment to your body. Well, the same thing takes place when we eat the Word of God. When you are seriously into the Word of God and you are taking it in, when you eat God, when you eat the bread, it represents eating the Word of God. When you eat the Word of God, you are literally bringing Jesus into yourself. You are spiritually absorbing the bread of life into your very being. And that word of life that you've absorbed into your being, that provides nourishment to the spirit man. And this is why from before Jesus spoke any of those words to those people that day, this is why He spoke and said to them, before He spoke any of that, He said to them, I am the bread of life. This is what He said in John chapter 6, verse number 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is reminding them of the words that were spoken by Moses to them. It's the words of God through Moses to them. He's reminding them that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus was God in the flesh. So Jesus spoke His word. We read all through the New Testament. We read all of the words that Jesus spoke. These are the words that He gave them to eat, and it's the same words that we are to eat today. When Jesus said to all those people, and we read it today, when He said, eat my flesh, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I abide in him, that's what we are doing. When we eat the bread, think about it. You are taking in the Word of God. Let it absorb into your entire being. Let it become who you are. Take it in and let the Word of God, let it become everything that He intends for it to be in you and I. This is what happens when we take communion. Now, the people that He was speaking at in that day, they didn't understand that truth. But this is an important truth for us to remember every time that we take communion. Absorb the Word of God. Let it be absorbed. Make it part of who you are. But then Jesus also told them, whoever drinks my blood. He told them they were to drink His blood. Now again, today, we have a better understanding of what Jesus meant when He said that. However, there's always something more. There's always deeper. And so I want to show you something about drinking and the word drinking that we probably haven't considered before. And to understand that, we have to go all the way back to when the Israelites were in the wilderness. Now remember, when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, he's receiving the word of God. He's receiving the Ten Commandments from God. But he was up on Mount Sinai for so long that the people waiting down at the base, at the base of the mountain, they were beginning to worry that Moses was not coming back to them. And so the people said to Aaron, "Make us a God that we can worship." And the Bible tells us that Aaron fashioned a golden calf. Of course, Moses comes down from the mountain. He sees the people dancing, celebrating, worshiping this golden calf. And in a rage of anger, he casts down these tablets that God gave him and smashes them at the foot of Mount Sinai. And he says to Aaron, his brother, Aaron the priest, he says to him, "How could you have allowed this to happen? How could you have led the people into this sin?" And Aaron responds both predictably, but also uniquely. Aaron says what we all say right away when we're caught in sin. Aaron said, "The people made me do it." Okay, that's the predictable part. But here's the unique part. We know from the Word of God, because if you go back verses before this, we know that the Word of God says that Aaron created by his hands, and even using an engraving tool, Aaron is the one who created this golden calf. But what did he say to Moses? When Moses said, "How could you lead the people into the sin?" "Well, they made me do it." And then he says this. And then the golden calf popped out of the fire when the gold was poured in. This is what he said to Moses. This is Exodus 32:24. "And I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let them break it off.' So they gave it to me. I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out." Now, well, that's a pretty lame excuse. The beauty of it is, if we get to read that word, and the word always has more. The beauty of it is, Aaron didn't realize it, but there was a spiritual truth to what he just said there. There's a spiritual truth. Consider this. Think about what Moses did right after this and what he made the people to do. This is Exodus chapter 32, verse number 20. "Then he took the calf, which they had made," this is Moses, "burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water, and he made the children of Israel to drink it." Now, usually when people read that, they read that and they think that Moses is punishing the people by doing this. But if you think about it, that's not the way it would have been received. And I don't think that was his intention at all. Because think about this. If you are one who is worshiping the false gods of Egypt, if you are one that has worshipped and in your heart you're worshiping that golden calf, it is going to be an honor for you to be able to drink that water laced with gold that comes from your God, from the idol of your God. And even clearer, this becomes even more clear when you understand that the text says that Moses made them to drink it. In this context, the word "made to drink," actually, it means more of made an offer to drink, as opposed to the way we in our minds read it as made a demand to drink. So if we realize that Moses made an offer to drink this water laced with this gold from the idol, then what he's doing is he is looking to see what is in the hearts of the individual people. Because if you are one of those people who is worshiping this golden calf, if you're one that is worshiping the gods of this world and the gods of Egypt, if you're one of those people, then you're going to be one of the first ones to say, "Yes, I will take that cup and I will drink that cup." So their hearts are revealed. So in a sense, Aaron, without meaning to, in a sense, Aaron is revealing a spiritual truth here when he said, "The golden calf came up out of the fire." When the fire of life is on, when the heat and the pressure of life are on, where do we turn for strength? Where do we go for hope? Because I will tell you, there are a lot of people who call upon the name of Jesus. And there's a lot of people who say that they follow Jesus. But they have become so comfortable in the world and in the things of the world that when the fire is on, when the pressure is being applied, when they are feeling the heat, when that fire arises, which it inevitably does in every life, that golden calf rises up inside of them. In other words, they turn their hearts and their minds to the things of the world and choose to turn away from the things of God. They are the ones who are turning away from God. And when they turn to the world, when they turn their hearts away from God into the world, they then are eating and drinking. They are then taking in to themselves all of the false promises that the world offers. They're actually consuming. They are actually absorbing into their very being the things of the world, as opposed to absorbing into themselves the things of the kingdom of God and the word of God. So here's the question we need to ask ourselves, and this is why it's important to consider these things before we go to a time of communion. When the fires of life, which inevitably they will, when the fires of life rise up around you, what rises up inside of you? Is it the golden calf? Or is it the word of God? And this is why it's so imperative that on a daily basis we are not just at communion, but on a daily basis we are consuming, eating, absorbing the word of God, literally bringing Jesus into ourselves. It is imperative that we are absorbing, not the things of the world, but absorbing Jesus Christ. Here's another way to look at this whole thing. What cup am I drinking from? What cup are you drinking from? Because we're either drinking the cup of the world, which is laced with the gold that the world offers and the false hopes of that world, or we're drinking the cup of the new covenant in Jesus' blood. And when those people who turn their hearts and they drink from the cup of the world, they're drinking in their own destruction without even realizing it. This is what God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 25, 15 through 17. For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send it to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Does that sound like today? Does that sound like what's taking place around the world today? Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand, and I made all of the nations to drink it to whom the Lord had sent me. But here's the good news. Here's the beautiful news. Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath so that you and I would not have to. Jesus did this willingly. And Jesus fully knew what cup he was drinking from. This becomes evident when you look at the prayer that Jesus offered when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is what Jesus said, Luke chapter 22, 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. He knew what he was drinking. He knew he was drinking the cup of God's wrath. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus obeyed the will of the Father. And Jesus drank that cup of wrath. He drank it right down to the dregs. He drank it all so that you and I would have the opportunity to drink from a very different cup. We get to drink from the cup of the new covenant in his blood. Mark chapter 26, verses 26 and 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jessica, Jeremy, if you guys can come up and get ready for communion. As they're coming up, I want you to think about this. When you take and you eat the bread and when you drink from the cup, know what you are absorbing into your very being. You are absorbing into your being the Word of God and all the promises of God. You're taking into yourself all of the promises that have been established by Jesus and the new covenant in His blood. And God is faithful to His covenant promises. And this which we do, this is an act of worship. And with worship comes an expectation of a deeper level of encounter with Jesus Christ. With worship and acts of worship comes an expectation for a better, intimate, more personal encounter with Jesus Christ. This should be our expectation. So, when you consume the bread and you consume from the cup, if you consume with these thoughts in your mind, then what you're going to do is extinguish, smother that fire from the world, and you open up the gates of heaven to pour out the fire of Jesus Christ upon you, upon your mind, your soul, and upon your body and your life.